Hey, are you a worrywart, as my mom used to say? Because she was. She wrestled with it, and I think she acknowledged it. It's interesting. My dad wasn't. She was. And so much of that has to do with a lot of things. I'm going to share some of that today. We're going to hear stories of people who are intentionally dealing with worry and anxiety in their life. I'm Dr. Randy. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center, along with Stephen and Jennifer and the rest of our Intentional Living family, and a host of operators and team who are taking phone calls today. For those of you who have been so generous during these several days to say you want to be a part of the support family of the ministry. And when you join us in monthly support, that dollar a day or more, you can find out about it online. We got some interesting things going on. You can check it out. I'm going to make sure you receive a copy of my brand new book just released in the last 10 days here, called Declutter Your Life, How to Experience Freedom Through Intentional Living in Christ. It is our gift to you. Overcoming worry, as I learned, the further we get away from this moment in time, either into the past or the future, you hear me reference that throughout the program, anxiety and worry tend to go up. So how do we deal with it? I hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to talk about how to do that. We got some great calls on the program today. Speaking of that, let's get to Gloria, who called from a previous program, and I want you to hear her story. Go right ahead, Gloria.
I've been diagnosed with PTSD and with a panic attack, and I worry about what does that say about me as a Christian? Am I reading my Bible enough? Am I doing my scriptures enough? Should I be taking medication? What kind of medication? And I appreciate somebody addressing it and saying that Christians are human beings, and that we are biological, and that sometimes we need medication, and sometimes it's difficult not to worry with your background.
I can repeat what you just said, Gloria, because I believe that. I wouldn't be in this, what I do, counseling, helping people, if I believe that as Christians, once we gave our life to Christ, all of our problems were gone, worry was gone, fear was conquered. We know it's ultimately conquered. We know that worry is ultimately conquered, but we get up every day. And because we are biological, because we have past experiences, these are things that are part of our life. In your case as well, beyond that, obviously, if you've been diagnosed with PTSD, that's a whole other category of something traumatic in your life that is creating this stress as well. But I think generally today, what I'd like to ask is this. Now, we're a community of believers, most of us, I think, listening, not all, but many of you are, and you're at different stages in your walk with Christ. Do you wrestle with worry? How are you being intentional with worry? If the scripture says worry for nothing, how in the world are we to live? Because many of us still wrestle with this. So how do you intentionally grow so you worry less? You're growing to worry less. You're maturing out of worry. Maybe you're better at this than you were in the past. How are you intentional with worry? What would you say to Gloria as well along the line? Phone line is open. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. We'd love to have you join in and be a part of the program. We got a great show ahead for you. We got some people who left some really powerful comments on scripture that in the second part here, I'm going to share with you scripture that's kind of their go-to verses that have made a difference in their life. We'll get to those in a little bit. All right, 888-888-1717. How do you intentionally deal with worry in your life? And so give us a call to be a part of the program today. John in Texas, I think, has a question for me. John, go ahead.
I've been a Christian since I was 11. I'm 54. My kids are Christians. My wife's Christian. We've got all that taken care of, but I find myself worrying about my children constantly. I lift it up to the Lord every night, and then I start worrying about it, you know, which there's a problem there. I know better than that. I know the scriptures on this type of thing, and it's just hard to shake it. That's kind of Satan's hold on me, I guess, you know.
Well, you're a dad, and I got to be honest with you, I worry about my kids too. You know, I don't think any parent listening doesn't have worry. I think we have to maybe be careful about the definitions of the words that we use, because when we think about worry, worry, I think, can overtake our life where we realize we're not dependent upon God, that somehow or other we are ultimately in charge, that we have some control over things we don't have. And like a good father, God, I think, looks into our lives and says, here's a child who's growing, who's saying, Daddy, I shouldn't worry so much. You know, I'm learning ultimately that you're in charge. Whatever's going to happen, it's because of your intentional love for my children. I can't change it, and I give them back to you. And as we're continuing to do that, John, I believe as we continue on that path to do the next right one thing, to be intentional, to continue to give it back to God every day, to fill our minds with the right kind of scripture and the right kind of truth, that's the right path. I think we're, as Christians, we get into trouble as we keep picking it up. I mean, we intentionally reach down and say, I'm not going to lay this baby down. I'm going to hang on to it. And when we see in 1 Peter, it says, cast your care upon me because I care for you, right? Upon him. We're really saying laying it down. And when we lay it down, to be able to turn around and walk away. And if you go back and pick it up, lay it down again. It's that intentional act, one after another. All right, we're going to get to the calls here in a moment. How do you lay it down? How are you intentional with worry? What do you do? Give me a call, 888-888-1717.
Who's your favorite?
Huh?
Who's your favorite?
Oh, you, of course.
And who's your favorite?
I said you.
What?
You asked me who's my favorite. It's you.
Thanks, but I was just adding some favorites to the web browser.
Okay, well, I have another for you. It's theintentionallife.com.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Yep, you can listen on demand, keyword search the program archives, shop the online store, connect to social, and even get freebies.
Theintentionallife.com, my favorite.
Lower stress by keeping things simple. I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Under pressure of persecution, the first century church kept things very simple. It says in Acts chapter 2 that they broke bread in their homes and ate together with a glad and sincere heart. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? Keep your focus on Christ. Maybe you have a small group, but if you don't, get into one. Live daily. We've talked about decluttering your life as one of the steps in the process of living an intentional life. And celebrate the small things. We live in a world that is full of a lot of stress, partly because we bring the stress into our life. So can I encourage you today to lower the stress by keeping things simple in your life, in your relationships? And when you do, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Our lines are full because people are calling to share how they're being intentional with worry in their life. And we had some comments that were left as well. Now, let me share a couple of those and we'll go to the call. Rosemary from Texas left this comment with us.
You were talking about worry. I know one thing that helped me a lot was that when I found out that it was a sin to worry, and I feel like my family, it was kind of handed down through the generations too. But once you know that you can give it to Jesus and he can take anything and everything, and also this verse helped me so much, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. I think if we just give it to Jesus and pray about everything, then, you know, you'll be set free because Satan knows that you're not going to worry about it, that you're going to give it to Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Rosemary. Charles also had a comment on dealing with worry.
Well, hello. My name's Charles, and I just wanted to leave a message. I've been a worrier, worrying all my life about stuff, and since I was 9 years old, I developed a full-blown ulcer, worrying. And I think in the past 24 hours, just listening to Family Life Radio, I've learned from God's Word that I have nothing to worry about because God is right here with me right now. I just want to thank Family Life Radio for just knowing what we feel. I'm not sure how you know, but you know. And thank Dr. Randy's teaching, and that's it. I'm not worrying no more. Thank you so much.
All right. And listen, Charles, it's going to come back. And when it does, you just keep telling yourself the truth. When the Bible says to us in Philippians 4, whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy and of good report, think on such things. Worry doesn't develop in a vacuum. It comes from our thoughts. And so when we're intentional with our thinking, taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, that's a healthy thing to do. And I need to do that when I worry. I need to do that when I'm feeling down. And I know when I do, my life is better. When I don't, it's not. And it happens to me, it happens to you, it's just reality. Cheryl wants to weigh in on worry. Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Appreciate your call. Go right ahead.
Well, I was listening to Gloria speaking, and I as well been diagnosed with PTSD from an incident in my past. And I did medication, then I lost my insurance benefits, and medication was beyond my ability to pay. And so I do rely a lot on my faith and words, but I believe that a lot of people have a natural thought process that the PTSD, once it's activated, can really just be triggered.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, my big trigger was that through a divorce situation where people that you care about had decided that they no longer wanted you around, but you didn't know.
Yeah.
And so my tendency was to always be thinking and connecting dots to try to prepare myself for that.
So did you overthink it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would start to look for hidden meaning in the things that people said.
Yeah.
I would start to try to connect dots to some horrible event that was about to happen to me. And I finally just realized, you know what, along the way, God was faithful. He provided in ways that I never could have imagined. And some of it took looking back to see how I'd walked through that storm, or how he'd carried me through that storm, I think is the word.
Are you doing better now, Cheryl?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But talking about it makes me a little emotional. But to be able to just trust. And I do get concerned because a lot of times people think that God, oh, he'll heal this. Well, you wouldn't just surrender your diabetes to God. And I believe that as well, things go wrong in the brain for different reasons, and that people need to feel confident in that thing, that there's treatment for that, not to believe that I'm just a bad Christian. I have done that thought. You just don't have enough faith.
Well, we see enough evidence in Scripture of people who were godly people, who were prophets themselves, who when they were fatigued, overwhelmed, would become... Well, they worry, and they were fearful. We see that throughout Scripture. We are biological beings. We've been wired. Some of us have, you know, we have a tendency toward different things. It could be diabetes. It may be cancer. It could be worry. And you're absolutely right. Here's what I believe, and I think the Scripture, I don't think, I know the Scripture is clear. If God wants to, He can. He can heal us of worry. He can heal us of PTSD. He can heal us of cancer. He can heal us of diabetes if He chooses to. And for whatever reason, sometimes he chooses to, and sometimes he doesn't. And so as Christians, I believe we intentionally bring all of it to God. And as the Scripture says, Father, if it is your will, I pray that you would release me from this. And if it's not, that you will be with me through it and give me the courage. And we need to find that kind of help. God wants us to connect with other people. Sometimes it requires medical attention, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it requires counseling, sometimes it doesn't. But as human beings, to be intentional, to realize that ultimately we live in a fallen world, God's intentional love for us is very significant, loving and transformational. Cheryl, thank you for sharing that. I know it was an emotional time for you and emotional to share it, and I appreciate it. Okay, you know, we started this a few weeks ago. Kaylee, a young 22, 23-year-old college grad, bless her heart, she was worried, struggling with worry, and asked for you all to help her with Scripture. And boy, did you help. I want to share some of the verses that you offered, but first I want you to hear Kaylee if you missed her.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Kaylee. I am 22 and a recent college grad. I really struggle with worry and anxiety just like all the time. And I just remember sharing it with my pastor. I was like, I really struggle with this. Like, it is something that I struggle with. And he's like, you need to meditate on Scripture. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I just worry so much. I don't know how to meditate. And he was like, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I was wondering what Scriptures you meditate on to alleviate, just like that you use to fight against like worry and anxiety. So you can meditate on things of the Lord and not of like our own fears. So that's my question.
All right. Thank you, Kaylee. Listen, we filled up the comment line with verses, worry verses as we call them around here. So let me share a few of them with you, and you might want to get a pencil. I'll write some of these down, be ready to memorize them. Let's start in Michigan with a worry verse.
Hi, my name is Annette, and my comment to to go along with today's intentional living program is a Bible verse that helps me when I am anxious and worried, and that is, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace. And I picked that part because of the, especially the end where it says he will give you peace.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Thank you, Annette. Here's another worry verse from a listener in New Mexico.
My name is Ariana, and I am calling from New Mexico. My favorite verse for worry is 2 Samuel 22:3. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and thorn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. No matter what we are facing, he is always there.
Amen to that. Daria from Arizona has a worry verse as well.
I wanted to say to that one woman, and I can't, offhand I'm driving, and I can't talk and drive at the same time. My car, anyway, if God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of peace and sound mind.
All right, we got a lot of more to share. You're welcome to join in. 888-1717. Here's another thing I've learned on an airplane. Turbulence happens. Yeah, it's unexpected. In fact, turbulence can happen in clear air. When we were flying back from Detroit just a couple weeks ago, perfectly clear air, and all of a sudden we're in the middle of turbulence, and the pilot has everybody in their seats and the flight attendants in their seats, and for 20 minutes or a half hour, everybody's in their seats, and you hang on. And in our lives, we have turbulence that comes. You're going along in life, and all of a sudden your spouse says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. You're going along in life, and all of a sudden the doctor says, you've got cancer. Boy, if you've flown at all, you know about turbulence. And as I said, you hang on to the handles thinking that's going to make a difference. And that's kind of what we do in life, isn't it? We overestimate, I think, sometimes those things that we do control and underestimate other areas where, frankly, we do have control. And I call it the 3-foot rule. We have control over what we think, what we say, what we do, what comes out of our mouth, what goes into our mouth, our attitude that we display. And others aren't responsible for that. We are within the 3 feet of ourselves responsible. And that's really what we're talking about today. These 10 things I learned on an airplane, each of them a very practical thing. And it is our featured lesson for September up on our site, our exclusive site for our member team from all over the country who are supporting us. And I hope you'll come and first pray about joining us and then do it today, because we got that very special offer of that new book, Declutter Your Life, when you join us monthly for $1 a day. And you can find out more about the ministry and what's going on at the website when you go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. As we talk about overcoming worry, you know, worry, I think, is something that Satan loves to camp on in our lives. Worry has a way of keeping us from taking a risk, stepping out. Worry has a way of putting a roadblock in the way of trusting God and being bold when we need to be bold and thinking the way we need to think. Many times when we get to be worrying, it kind of shuts off our thinking part of our brain and our emotions take over. So it can become a negative emotion in our life. And so today, learning that we can overcome worry with God's help, that's really what it is. God has not given us a spirit of worry, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That's the message today.
Hi, my name is Belinda. My story is that over 20 years ago, my husband became very ill, and it shook us both up pretty badly. Through prayer, I started learning to trust the Lord for every detail of our lives, and I just learned that I needed the energy to finish raising the family, take care of my husband, work, take care of a lot of details. And worrying steals a person's energy, I think. So instead of worrying, I decided to trust the Lord, so I would go to him in prayer and then leave my request and then move on to whatever was waiting to be done. That's how I learned not to worry and by not worrying, you have more room for joy in your life.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Worry. It's a topic that is very pervasive in America. Anxiety is now the number one mental illness diagnosed in our country. Because of the culture in which we live, we have a lot of things to be anxious about. Your kids, the culture, the finance, the wars, the rumors of wars, you can name them. I don't want to list them because you'll worry about that, see? And so we live in a time and a culture where worry is certainly a significant problem. We do know as followers of Christ, when the scripture says that we are to cast our care upon him because he cares for us, that he's really saying to be able to take the worry that we have and set it down and leave it there, which is not an easy thing to do. You're welcome to join in and tell us what's the worry verse you go to that encourages you, or tell us what are the other things you do when you face worry. 888-888-1717. Let's go to George in Wisconsin. Appreciate your call, man. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, Randy?
Doing good. You worry sometimes, my friend?
Oh, I worry a lot.
What do you do when you worry? What do you worry about, and then what do you do?
Well, there's one of the top things I worry about is my boss happy with my work? I work on a farm, and a lot of times I'm by myself. I don't work as a team. It's just me and the cows that I milk.
and are they happy with you? If the cows are happy with you, man, life is good, right?
Well, all the cows I feed are happy with me. Probably just because I'm feeding them.
Yeah, so you worry about making sure you're measuring up, you're doing a good enough job. Maybe you're not getting the kind of do you get the kind of feedback that you need to know if you're doing a good job or not?
Every once in a while, he'll say that, you know, today was a good day or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just half the day I don't see him, and the other half I'm helping him feed calves or whatever.
You know, let me jump in, George, because I think there's a practical thing here. We talk about worry. Sometimes we worry about things we have no control over. And that's the kind of worry I think that can really damage us. You know, we worry about things that are happening in the world we have no control over. We worry about things with our children, our adult children, that we have no control over. We worry about things that are going on maybe in our community that we don't have any control over. And those things can really keep us up at night. But there are times that we worry about things we do have some control over. And I would just say to you, George, I know because it says here that you know God's good, you know he's there. But if you're worried about how you're measuring up, sit down with your boss. Just be able to sit down and say, hey, I worry about this sometimes. Could we work it out that you could give me more feedback? Let me know how I'm doing. For those of us who worry about things, there are things that we can do. You know, we pray, we give it to God, but there's also things we can step out and practically do to be able to connect and take care of an issue that might be worrying us. If you're worried, here's an example. If you're worrying about a bill that you have to pay and you forget to pay it, you should be worrying about it. Because one of the things we teach at Intentional Living, that all emotion can be used in a positive or negative way. It's a fuel. If you're feeling guilty, sometimes people need to feel guilty. If you're angry, sometimes there's a reason to be angry, to use that to move in a healthy direction. If you're anxious, now there's where we get into the point of saying, hey, am I anxious about something that I know I'm anxious about because I'm not doing what I need to be doing, or is it something that I need to be taking more initiative to do in my life, to be intentional? I hope that makes some sense for you, George, because, you know, at the end of the day, maybe it would help you in a practical way just to sit down with your boss, okay? All right. What's your go-to verse? We got some more we want to share with you. Let's go to, Let's go to Stephen in New Mexico.
Just listen listening to the program, I really love what I'm hearing about what Dr. Randy Carlson mentioned about how he's heard people call us the United States of Anxiety. And, you know, I was at one point, struggling with alcohol and drugs, and I'd gone to seek psychological help, and I thought I was bipolar, manic, depressive, and all these other things. And, you know, the reality is that I was without Jesus. But I want to leave a scripture for you that I just absolutely love, and it's my go-to scripture. Whenever my spirit is troubled and I'm having difficulty with an impending decision, or, you know, when I'm feeling worried or anxious, because, you know, I'm a man too, and I experience anxiety and worry from time to time in my Christian walk, in my faith. But the scripture references from Isaiah 40:31, and it says, "Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." You know, and that's from the New Living Translation, but some of the other translations say, "Those who wait on the Lord." And that's what I remember it as well. Those who wait on the Lord. And I think it's this impulsive decision-making process that many people go through because of the pressures of society, because of the pressures of family, because of the pressures of, you know, social environments. The flesh says, take action now. Do something.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, thank you for that story. We get so many that share with us about how worry can impact every area of your life. You know, Satan loves to camp on it. I was sharing at the beginning of the show today, I can recall my mom, who's been in heaven a long time now, but she was the worry one in our family, and she was always concerned about different things. And she would admit that's the way she grew up. She grew up during the Depression, and I think had some pretty negative experiences in her life, some of which she shared, and others I don't think she ever did. But as a result of all that, she created a more of an attitude of worry, and where my dad was the total opposite, which made for an interesting marriage sometimes, where my dad would say, "Let's go and let's trust God," and my mom would wring her hands a little bit more. Even though she trusted God, it was more difficult for her. And I think for many of us, understanding that worry can be one of those things that can bring us down. So I hope today, as we've talked about all of this, it's a reminder that we can trust the Lord. As I shared that verse earlier from Paul, where he says, God's not given us a spirit of timidity or worry or fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Those three things are the powerful 1, 2, 3 punches of really dealing with worry in our life. By the way, that book's available, Declutter Your Life. Worry is one of the things you need to declutter as you join us monthly or increase your support. Call us, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and thank you for your support.